Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. If you like what you're listening to, please make a contribution at patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
So Hemant.
Yes.
Before we get started.
Yes.
I told you I had a surprise for you.
Oh boy.
And guess what it is?
What is it? There's a bottle of
Korbel.
It's champagne.
Ooh.
Do you know why?
Why?
Do you know what today is?
I have no idea what today is.
Today is our third podcast anniversary.
No way.
It is.
Hey, hey, go us.
So I picked this up on the way over. I tried to get a really cheap one, but it was warm. And I'm not doing that to myself again. So this is the cheapest cold one they had.
Hey, hey, go
so
us.
So congratulations. I'm sure you got me something really nice. I will take it off air.
I got you the bottle of wine we started 2 weeks ago. You're welcome.
Nothing like a two-week-old bottle
I
of wine to show
out.
Me you care. So I'm just going to pop this bad boy open.
All right.
Woo!
That was a really good sound effect.
That was.
Good for me. I didn't even spill. So what else is going on in the news?
Oh, there's so much. Hey, thanks for listening for as long as we've been doing this. I'm really proud of the fact that we've been going for 3 years.
3 years, haven't missed a week.
Damn
almost
right.
did last week.
Almost did.
Had a little incident.
We're done with that. It's fixed.
It's
We're all
fixed.
Good now.
We just had to do almost three takes on a intro to a different episode. So we're
nailing
on things. Cheers.
Woo. All right.
I did listen to your episode last week. You say very nice things about me when I'm not around. I appreciate that.
Well, when the recording shut off. here's the story I want to start with.
Okay.
Something that came up this past week, which it was a front page story on like the Sunday New York Times.
Okay.
It's like the biggest journalistic real estate ever, which was about the rise of the religious left, which sounds different. I mean, they've been around forever. There are always liberal religious people out there.
Okay.
Yeah, we always condemn kind of the religious right and all the horrible policy decisions they make.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the religious left? Because there are liberal Christians out there. There are liberals who are like, yes, church state separation.
Yeah.
Yes to, you know, policies to help refugees
mm-hmm.
and healthcare for everybody, all that stuff.
Those bastards.
But they don't seem to get a lot of traction. You never really hear about the religious left people.
Right.
So what this was saying is in the era of Trump, they've always been around, but now they're actually getting heard because
mm-hmm.
their message is really taking over. And the question is, will Democrats, like, I think for a lot of religious people, they feel the Democrats don't really listen to them, which is funny because as an atheist, I don't think either party is listening to us.
Right.
But the Democrats may be wise to, yeah.
They don't think the Democrats are listening to them?
They don't think the Democrats are listening to them. Actually,
in what specific five ways? I would love to hear.
I'll tell you what one of them. Jim Wallis has been kind of the figurehead for the religious left for a long time. He works with a group called Sojourners. Written a lot of
what
stuff.
What is it?
Sojourners.
Sojourners?
Yeah. I'll spell that for you at some
Sojourners?
Point.
Sojourners? Sojourners? Like Sojourner know. Truth?
Yes. Spelling, I think, is the same.
I didn't mean to call out
it's all
your
good.
Pronunciation.
No. It's all good. So Jim Wallis, who's usually good on a lot of these issues, we probably agree with him on a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
He actually said, quote, most progressive religious leaders I talk to, almost all of them feel dissed by the left. The left is really controlled. Wait. The left is really controlled by a lot of secular fundamentalists. That one rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, did it? Was
yeah.
it when he said dissed? Because my head exploded when that happened.
Dissed didn't bother me. But the
you
idea
know
is
it
wrong.
Should, because it is 2017.
Okay,
I know I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I just, as soon as he said that, I like lost my mind. So I'm sorry. Can we walk through that slowly?
Most progressive leaders I talk to, almost all of them feel dissed by the left. The left is really controlled by a lot of secular fundamentalists, which is weird because that makes it sound like Democrats are run by atheists. And
sure.
I'm like, really? Because they don't listen to atheists at all.
What does...
Democrats are way too conservative for atheists. Secular fundamentalists, which...
What do you what think does that mean? Means?
It means we drink coffee and, like, blog. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Because what is a secular fundamentalist? Well, no one is saying everyone has to be an atheist.
Sure.
No one is saying you can't have religion ever. That's not what
and
we're
doing. And I
feel doing.
Like that is such a... Like, you tack fundamentalist onto anything, and you're like, oh, it's bad. But, like...
Right.
That's not a thing. Like, no, that's like...
You realize, like, in 2016, Hillary Clinton has taught Sunday school, and her running mate, Tim Kaine, was, like, a former missionary.
Catholic, McGatholic.
Was he? No.
Yeah, he was Catholic,
wasn't
he?
Was he Catholic?
Fuck.
I can't remember. He's so out of my mind right now.
Don't tweet me out.
They are a religious bunch of people.
Yeah.
Obama, clearly religious.
Mm-hmm.
Biden, devoutly Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the left is not really run by atheists at all.
No.
So I don't really get the secular fundamentalist bit.
There is an argument. I mean, not an argument to be made, but like Bernie Sanders was secular, but A, he didn't win. B, he didn't have the wide support of the DNC. And C, he's one dude in the last 200 years.
Exactly. And now there are, Wallace's really dumb comment aside, there are some religious leaders on the left who are actually doing some really good stuff. So William J. Barber II, the guy who leads the, quote, Moral Monday
Catholic
movement.
Catholic, I was right. Tim Kaine is totally Catholic.
Boom, you win. The Moral Monday movement in North Carolina. I mean, this guy, William Barber, this reverend, he was kind of the driving force to get Pat McCrory, the guy who was like bathroom bill, that all that horrible stuff. He
knocked
got him out
of
office. I mean, that movement had some teeth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I've heard this guy speak, he's saying totally sensible things. Yes, cloaking them in biblical verses and stuff. But he's fighting for the right issues, you know? And so here's kind of the question that I'm wondering right now, which is a couple questions. Will they get enough power to ever dislodge the religious right anytime soon in terms of who has more power?
Mm-hmm.
Religious right, every time we hear about them, they seem to be on the decline. Like, their followers are dying out. They've been around
literally
forever.
Literally dying out.
But then they got Donald Trump, and they're kind of having a resurgence. Like, everyone in the administration is pretty much on the religious right. Mike Pence is on the religious right.
Yeah. Mike Pence is, there's an argument to be made. I mean, and we've talked about this before. It could be on our Great Lost episode. But but the idea of religious people are now putting party before their own religion with a vote for Trump. Like, that's,
hey, grab someone's pussy, whatever. He's going to pass gun whatever gun stuff we want and abortion.
His like sort of kowtowing to religion is so transparent because he's very clearly not a religious man. Or I shouldn't say
Trump.
That. He's very clearly not a devoutly Christian
I don't think he
man.
Thinks about religion.
No,
I don't think he thinks about a lot
either,
of things.
And I think he has the privilege not to. Yeah. But like, what did he say? Like the 2 Corinthians thing?
Yeah,
like,
the
I'm an atheist and an idiot, and I know it's 2 Corinthians. Like,
right.
So anyway, continue.
The question is, will they really get that sort of power to really change a lot of elections everywhere? And the whole point of the article was they're starting to get some of that cachet, and a lot of, I think, younger religious people, too, are like, yeah, I'll get behind this movement.
Mm-hmm.
One thing they didn't really talk about in the New York Times article, and in general, I think, whenever they talk about this religious left movement, it is more inclusive. Like, they are talking about, you know, liberal Muslims who are sick of, you know, Trump-type policies.
Uh-huh.
That's part of that. Religious people who are nuns, you know, who are, I believe in something, but I'm not part of an organized religion. I think that they're included in here, too.
Sure.
What I don't hear them saying is... they really don't talk about including atheists in that movement. And by definition, I get like, yeah, the religious left isn't going to include atheists either. But it seems if the Democrats want to take advantage of this, they should definitely reach out to the religious left, which they are. I mean, William Barber, the guy I just mentioned, he spoke at the convention, Democratic convention this year, last year. So they are doing some outreach of sorts. As atheists, do we get behind this?
So, the thing is, if you're doing the right thing for a reason that is what I view as, like, not necessarily correct or sound, you're still doing the right thing. Like, I'm willing to... Listen, if... I don't care... Again, and I've said this a lot. Like, I don't care if you're religious. I don't care how you get to your morals. But if your morals land you at... hey, maybe we should treat gay people nicer, or like, hey, maybe we should stop shooting black people in the street. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm on your team, and I am not going to be dragged down by or you go to church Sundays or whatever. Like, I could not care less. If they are doing what their faith dictates and actually giving to the poor and helping their fellow man, then yeah, I'm 100% on their page. I do wish they would reach out, but I don't know. Like, I don't take it personal. Most people don't think about us.
I think there are two kind of issues that you're bringing up that, you know, one is the policy issue, mm-hmm. and that to me is the bigger, the more important issue, because that affects us on mm-hmm. a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And if these people, like you're saying, if they're on the right side, but for the wrong reasons, per se, who cares? Mm-hmm. Get behind, like, let's push for these policy decisions that we can all get behind. And then the second issue is, what do they believe? What do they do on a Sunday or sure. something? I don't care.
Could not care less.
Like, we can have that debate later, and I know they're atheists, or like, they're religious, so they're wrong. Let's argue about it. Fine.
The thing is, I don't want to have that debate later. I don't give a shit. But I don't care.
That's the issue. Like, right? If they care about the right policy,
yeah.
then fine. Let's join
Welcome
forces.
Welcome to the team, buddy.
If you want to have this argument about religion, have it separately. That's a different issue.
I don't want to be near it.
You don't. There is a lot of atheists who do, which is fine. Go have that philosophical yeah. debate another
no,
time.
No, and I'm not dogging on people who like, because listen, obviously I like to debate and yell and get engaged, but like, for me, I'm not going to sit and have a debate with somebody on whether or not they should go to church, because I really don't care. As soon as they take
it, doesn't affect me.
It doesn't affect me. Do yeah. whatever the fuck you want behind closed doors or wherever, as long as it doesn't affect me, I'm cool.
Right.
God, did I paint myself into a argumentative corner somewhere?
Nah, no one will ever write. No one will complain, I'm sure. It's the internet. No one complains. So anyway, Democrats would be smart. I mean, I think one of the frustrations a lot of religious people have with Democrats is that they always, if they're religious, they kind of back off of it. They don't parade it as much, mm-hmm. which is good. And
fine.
It doesn't really bother me, but I think it bothers them. I think the issue is they Democrats often come off as disingenuous when they talk about religion.
Yeah.
Because very few of them are like Joe Biden, who kind of wears his Catholicism on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. If they're like Obama, they're like, they kind of bring it up, but like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll bring it up at these moments. And they're not happy with that. Because like, if you are, go in all the way and push for these issues. So the Democrats don't have this comfortable position with religious people.
Right.
But, and I know as an atheist, I mean, there are zero in Congress. Openly atheist right. in Congress. So I wish they would just be more honest about it. Say you're religious. I mean, there was a debate among Democrats recently where the question is, will the Democratic Party as an organization support candidates who, because of their faith or whatever, might be against abortion? And the argument from, I think, from the DNC was, we're not supporting candidates who aren't backing, you know, a woman's choice. But then the question is, are you alienating people who
don't care.
Might be on your side? Well, the argument there is, I don't care what they believe, if as long as their public position is, I'm going to support a woman's right to choose, which, again, this goes back to like the Joe Biden position. Mm-hmm. I don't care what he believes as a Catholic. Mm-hmm. As long as he's supporting a woman's right to choose, then why should it doesn't matter to me. Yeah. And I think that should be the Democratic position as well.
Right.
We don't care what you believe. I mean, a guy, I wanted to bring this up, too. There was a guy who's the leader of the Liberal Democrats in London, in the UK. It's the fourth largest party in the UK, but it's a small fraction
sure.
of the 650, I think, House of Commons members they have. They only have like 12. It's really small. But
I
it's
bet
still,
they're a fun group, though.
I'm sure. The leader was an evangelical Christian, and he actually backed down from leadership role this week. I don't know if he's going to leave the party like for good, but he's no longer going to be their leader. And he said the reason is, I can't reconcile my party's platform, more or less, which is a progressive platform,
sure.
with his evangelical views. And to me, that was surprising, only because it's easy to figure that out. Just say, look, I believe this stuff on a personal level, but as a politician, as someone who's got making policy for everybody, I would never want to impose my religious beliefs, so I'm going to back the position of my party, even if I don't necessarily agree with it. It's something American politicians do all the time, at least in my head, maybe some Democrats anyway. But
I mean, so like Tim Kaine is a really good example of that, who very frequently would say, I don't like abortions. I'm personally pro-life, but when I govern, I'm pro-choice because I don't believe I have the right, which is great on several levels. The one level that it makes me feel icky is that there's definitely still a air of like moral superiority of assigning abortions are necessarily morally bad, and I would never do it. But if you want to do it, that's fine. Like, it kind of gives him this like perceived moral high ground, and it's saying that like this is a bad thing. I think you should be. It's a necessary evil. All of that kind of thing, and I think that stigma around abortions is sort of what we need to be getting after next, because I feel like for most reasonable human beings, nobody is talking about like, oh, I have to take birth control, or like I don't want to get an IUD, but like, you know, I need to. It doesn't have that same stigma. But I think, I don't think abortion definitely still has that. So I think there needs to be a shift in how we talk about it.
In the case of this British guy, his name is Tim Farron. What precipitated this, the reason he was so, you know, weird about his personal beliefs versus the party platform, is because they kept asking him, I guess.
Really?
And I didn't follow
Who's
this closely.
They, the press
okay. and people who were questioning him, I guess, at like their version of town hall meetings and whatnot, was, what do you think about homosexuality and specifically like gay sex? Because this has to do with the party platform. Do you support LGBT rights, more or less?
I'm sorry. So they asked him, what do you think of gay people? What do you think of gay sex?
I read that in several articles. They're really straight up asking him, what do you think about it? Do you think it's icky? Do you think it's normal? What is it?
Oh,
is it a sin?
God.
And basically, he didn't answer for the longest time. He didn't want to answer the question.
Well,
and then finally, when
gross.
He did...
like, it's like, a gross question.
Yeah, I don't care about your beliefs about what people do in the bedroom. It doesn't matter. He eventually said it wasn't a sin, but it's like, at that point, it's way too little too late, and I know you don't actually believe that. And this was like a scandal, which, you know, in Britain, that was a scandal. I wish
Bless
we had that
their
sort
hearts.
Of, I know.
Oh, you guys.
But anyway, that's kind of the thing. He's like, I don't want to go through that again, so he stepped down.
Yo, I mean, it sounded really harrowing. Somebody asked him 4 questions.
I know, and now he's out.
I don't know how his political career survived that. Oh, Britain.
All right. I want to bring up a totally non-political point. Here's a kind of sad story that I just came across this last night,
sad
and
stories.
It's a really sad thing. Okay, so earlier this week, a 43-year-old man named Ben Dillon died. I don't really know the reason. As far as I can tell, you know, good guy, worked with his church. Everyone loved this guy. Mm. He had 2 little kids, so you really feel bad for his family and his wife. They're dealing with all this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very sad. His brother is the pastor of the church that they all worked at. It's a smaller family church. Mm-hmm. His brother posted a video on Facebook urging people to pray for him to be resurrected. Yeah. Saying, I want you all to pray for him to come back to life.
Oh, no.
His wife has been praying for him all week to come back to life. We're hoping that a miracle will happen. Like,
oh my God.
It's so strange. To
feel
and I'm not
so uncomfortable.
Just to be clear,
right now.
I am not making fun of these people. They're grieving. You would never want to attack their grief. But they're. I'm going to quote what he said in the video. Ever since Monday morning, we've been praying for resurrection. You should see his wife, Micah, as she continues to worship God and continue to try to call her husband back.
Where's the body?
I don't think they've buried it yet, so it's bodies are. Over the next 24 hours, he said, till his memorial service. And even then, we're going to still call on God to raise Ben back. And the whole, as I'm watching this, one, I'm like, that's weird, but okay, it's not what I'm gonna do, but that's a little weird. But then part of me got angry because I'm like, they're basically telling these children, this guy's kids,
oh, no,
if you pray hard enough, if you have enough faith, daddy might come back, which seems so cruel. Like, he's not, I'm sorry,
he's not
gonna coming
come
back.
And those, if those kids blame themselves, I mean, that it's sort of involved, like that's sort of tied into the whole Christian thing, is like, you do good things, you do good works, and good, you know, good things,
or you believe in Christ, and
you believe in Christ, and good things happen to you.
Yeah.
So I feel like the sort of, and I'm curious if religious or formerly religious listeners have this, of, if a bad thing happens to me, does that mean I did something bad or I sinned and I... Like,
and there are some people, because we post about them all the time, but religious right figures who are like, if the weather is bad. I think David Barton, the pseudo-historian, said this week, like, if the weather is bad, it's because God is punishing you for something, which makes no sense, and there's so many examples to the contrary.
Was he the one who blamed Hurricane Katrina on the gays?
No, it wasn't the same guy, but it's the same family of people. I mean, it's the same type of people, more or less. But anyway, this idea that if you don't have faith, or if you have enough faith, maybe Daddy will come back.
Oh,
like, he's not.
God, those poor children.
Yeah, it seems so mean.
Because,
and it's not just about the kids, too. It's does this guy actually think there's a chance this guy's coming back? Like, the obituaries have been written. The guy's gone. I'm sorry. That's awful. And I wouldn't even be saying anything if they were just saying, we'll all see him in heaven again.
Of course, because that's what everybody says about.
Yeah, and it's like, that goes to the afterlife. That's just a nice thought you could carry with you, even if I think it's wrong.
Right.
You can carry that with you through your life and whatever. This is literally saying, hey, next week, Daddy might be back home.
Ugh, like, that's my goodness. Sad. That reminds me, and I'm trying to find it, but I doubt I will in time. There was an episode of The Dollop, which has come up a lot. I'm sorry, I'm just a fangirl. But it is about, I'm going to try to find it, but it's about resurrections in Australia.
Okay.
And basically how multiple people were murdered because, did I say resurrections?
Yes.
I meant, what's the thing where you have the spirit in you and you.
Seance?
No, the thing like, not poltergeist. Come on, Jessica.
Exorcism?
Exorcism.
Yeah.
Thank you. Exorcisms of Australia or something like that. And it's just these stories of this woman they thought was, you know, this man had his wife and she was having a seizure or something. And all of a sudden they bring in all of these people and they're like sitting on her and like choking her and she dies. And then she is just in their house and they're praying over her for like 4 days in Australia without AC and all the cons. And it's just this sort of, at what point is it not faith? And it's just sort of a break in reality. And
it's
I don't mean to shed light, but make light of this because this is tragic. But like, at what point are we all not going to be like, hey, honey, like, this is tragic and this is awful, but this isn't helping. You not allowing yourself and your family and your community to move on isn't going to help anybody. And it's not, you're no longer associating with reality in any meaningful way. Like, yeah, you can say, oh, this happened for a reason, or you can make connections in your head as often as you want, and people do that all the time. But this is getting psychologically dangerous. Like, this is emotional trauma for these kids.
And these people are from Franklin, Virginia. I mean, I don't know the city. It's a small city, I think. But, it's not like they have a huge community of people who would probably disagree with them. Like, they probably live in a bubble. And so there's a lot of people who are probably behind them on this. And what was freaky to me is that if you look at the Facebook comments where he posted this video, they didn't say, what are you doing? They were all like, amen, hallelujah, yay, good luck, yes.
That episode I was talking about, Australian Exorcists, episode 76 of The Dollop.
Excellent. I want to bring this up because I'm not going to be dumb enough to talk about this, but I want to bring it up because you might have a fun reaction to this.
Oh my God, I'm already
this goes
sweating.
To February. This male chiropractor.
Oh God.
So let's start there.
My two least favorite things, men and chiropractors. JK, man,
he made
fine.
A product. It actually got patented a while ago, but he released it and it was on his website. It was a menstrual product.
No, this guy, he's back.
This guy, he's back. This is going back to February. He made a product called Feminine Lipstick. And I'm going to read.
Was it just in February?
It was just in February.
Oh, we've lived so many lives
this was lipstick that basically, I'm going to wait till you're done drinking that.
No. I've heard it before and it's upsetting.
Sorry if your kids are in the car or something. It's straight up glues your labia shut in order to prevent menstrual blood from coming out. But don't worry, when you have to pee, it'll undo the seal. Okay.
Which,
that's what this guy made.
I just had a few, like, has this guy ever looked at genitalia ever or understood how it works? Or does he know that menstruation is also wet? Is that, I just have a lot of questions for this guy.
Well, he's back. Daniel Dopps, D-O-P-P-S.
God. Things are getting boring around
here. I know. He made a new product. It's a panty liner. Wait for it. I'm just going to read the description because I don't know what the hell else to say about this.
Okay.
The powder will transfer to the labia minora as the panty liner is worn.
No.
Moisture activates the powder and creates the menses seal. Menses is the company name. Menses. Creates the menses seal without the panty liner ever sticking to you. Blah, blah, blah. The panty liner stays clean and dry. You are leak-free until you urinate. He basically made a panty liner that does absolutely nothing that any woman I know actually wants
Wait,
it
so
to
his
do.
Invention is like that gross labia lipstick, mm-hmm. but just put onto a panty liner?
More or less.
And then...
I guess.
And then...
My favorite part...
I love is that he's like, and the panty liner stays dry. Like, that's my number one concern, is I want to make sure my panty liners look like new when I'm done with them.
Yes, I'm sure. The best part about that whole website, the product part of the website, is he has a list of what could improve in your life by using Menses products. And
I'm
that list...
I'm so mad at that name. I know I was silent when you said it before, but it's just because my head was silently imploding.
M-E-N-S-E-Z.
Fuck
Menses.
This guy.
Or Menses, because
yeah,
why
no,
not?
I get it. It's stupid. Nobody calls it Menses anymore.
What could improve in your life because you're using these products?
Horseback riding.
Dinner with the girls.
God Board, fucking damn it.
Boardwalk on your longboard. A spring wedding.
Wait, back up.
Yeah.
Boardwalk on your longboard?
It's literally what he says. Movie marathon. Final exams. Date night. Running errands. Backyard picnic. Casino luck. The slot machines will be ever in your favor if you wear this stuff,
casino
apparently.
Luck.
Yeah. Your luck will improve. And my favorite, Voga class.
Shut the fuck up, Hemant.
Voga
class. I don't have time for this anymore.
I assume that's a typo, but with this guy, who knows? Who knows?
Okay, I have some questions. I'm
Do
sure
you
can answer none of them.
I'm sure many women have questions.
How? How
know.
And why? And who is, like, where, why is he funded? Does he have patents?
It's a good,
are these
he
actual,
does have a patent on the lipstick.
Like, are these actual products, or is this some guy doing, like, a long-term troll? In which case, I would applaud him so
it
hard
is
because
entirely
he
possible.
Would be, like, the definition of Poe's Law. Like, the dictionary
are,
would have his dumb face on it.
He does have a patent on the lipstick, which is why we even know about this.
Oh.
But nothing is available for purchase, which lends itself to the idea that this is a troll, but who knows?
I just had so many gross thoughts, and I just...
Let's go to a less gross topic along the same lines, which is something we briefly talked about last week in the Lost episode. But
y'all, I made a really funny joke about short hair, and I'm so disappointed it didn't make it to air. I was so pleased with myself. Anyway.
Walgreens is dumb right now. Walgreens?
What you doing, girl?
Yeah. A woman in Albuquerque went to go pick up prescriptions, birth control pills for her daughter.
Oh, this fucking
yes.
guy. Are
she went to go pick
again?
Up. Yes. She wanted to go pick up misoprostol, which is a quote unquote a drug that prepares a woman's body for the insertion of an IUD. She wanted to go pick it up for her daughter. They had a prescription for it. Jesse Garrett was the pharmacist on duty. And what he said is, I can't give it to you. My personal beliefs prevent me from giving this child this product. And even when the manager said, like, what's going on here, he said, I have a, quote, pretty good idea why she needs this birth control pill, more or less, their medication.
But.
And
it's not birth control.
It's not.
It's not
totally
birth
not.
Control.
I said birth control. I don't know if he said that, but he had a pretty good idea what the medication would be for. And I should say, when he said he's not dispensing it, what Walgreens and what the pharmacy did, which is in line with Walgreens' policy on this, was there anyone else on duty who could have dispensed it? I guess the answer was no. And by policy, they basically told the mother, go to another Walgreens miles and miles away to get this prescription filled. That's the issue here.
All right, Jesse. Hey, Jesse. It's just you and me. First of all, you're carrying quite a mantle with your name, so could you stop fucking it up? Dude, fuck you. Like, fuck all the way off. You don't.
Oh, I should tell you, I get emails saying you swear. They're not happy with your swear.
I know. I get them all. I get the tweets and I read your reviews. Sorry, guys. We put the explicit thing on the podcast. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not sorry. Sorry, kids. I don't know. There's worse shit in the world.
There really
like
is.
This guy.
Like this
fucking
guy.
Jesse.
The funny thing is, and this, oh, funny. The interesting thing about this is that when the ACLU and another group in New Mexico wrote a letter to Walgreens saying, what's up with this? They were, you know, suggesting maybe a lawsuit's in play here, but they didn't do it because of, you know, his religious beliefs should not have been used here. They didn't go that route. Okay. What they said is, because she was a girl, you didn't want to dispense this because you thought you knew what she needed it for.
Oh, because you mentioned this last week, because that medication can be used for other...
Stomach ulcers. Treat stomach ulcers, and usually men use it to treat stomach ulcers, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they were saying, because this is a case of sex discrimination... You didn't give it to this woman because she needed it for her daughter. Mm-hmm. You would not have done this, the same thing you did, if she needed it for her son or her husband. So this is a sex discrimination case. So I don't know how this is going to play out. What's been interesting in the past week since the lost episode is that I've seen a lot of people online write to Walgreens saying, we want a clarification on this policy because what's wrong with you? And as far as I know, Walgreens responds to everybody with the same form letter saying, our policy is we will try to fill it in store. But if no one on duty can fill your prescription for whatever reason, they will recommend you to a nearby store, isn't always an option for everybody.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's not an option for everybody. Like, that's not how the world fucking works. You don't get to just like tiptoe. Like, if I were a server and I was waiting to,
and you're vegetarian and you didn't
want to serve. Like, that's just not how your fucking world works, dude. Sorry. Like, if you don't want to be like, quote unquote, complicit in steaks or birth control or whatever,
I'm not gonna sell you a Big Mac even though I work at McDonald's.
Yeah, like that's just not how the fucking world works. It's garbage.
Never made any sense. The question now that I'm hearing from a lot of people and I'm seeing online is, okay, people might transfer their prescriptions to another pharmacy if there is one nearby them, which we have the luxury of that in our area.
Sure.
Not everyone does.
No.
But they all kind of want to know, what is your policy? What are you going to do in the same situation if someone says they have a religious belief that prohibits them from giving medication?
I mean, I just don't see why it's an... I just don't see why any, like, smart corporation would be like, hey, if you have an... relatively arbitrary objection to a thing. Like, what if you're a Scientologist and you're a pharmacist and you don't believe in antidepressants? Like, sorry, dude, I need my antidepressants. Otherwise, I'm real sad.
And
like,
this is why Walgreens really needs to make clear, look, if we carry this thing and you have a prescription with us, you're going to get it when you come to the store.
Yeah.
Like, barring something that's totally out of their control, but not hiring a pharmacist who just doesn't want to do the job.
Just why is this still... a discussion we have to have.
Yeah.
Why are we still assigning morality to medicine, to drug, to things that
and
are...
this isn't even, like you said, this isn't birth control. This isn't an abortion drug.
Right.
this is a preventative thing.
Like, that's the thing. Is like, can we just please fucking God treat all medicines the same and all medical procedures the same? Because, like, this is... I'm tired of this. I'm so tired. Like, there's real problems in the world. There's real problems that I really would love for people to focus on and, like, really, like, find their hill to die on there. But it's not going to be selling an ulcer medicine to a woman.
Yeah.
Like, so you're not winning Walgreens, any God points, dude.
I thought there would be an update on this since last week, that Walgreens would have responded and said, here's our policy or here's how we're changing it or whatever. Yeah. As far as I know, they have not done that. And that's despite so many people writing to them and saying, we need clarification on this because this policy is crazy. Since you brought up McDonald's, look at me segueing.
You brought up McDonald's.
I know. That's right.
Don't pin that on me, asshole.
Go me. Look at me segueing. Joshua Feuerstein. The evangelist who basically makes a bunch of vertical videos and yells at you. He's the guy who started the Starbucks.
Guy?
Yeah, last year was it? Or 2 years ago? The Starbucks released red cups in winter.
And
he does
goatee?
Have a big head and a backwards hat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm
yes.
The right guy.
And he raised $20,000 for a camera that he's never used.
Oh, he's so brave.
Uh huh. So Joshua,
speaking of which, our Patreon is
Joshua made a video or the Starbucks thing. Starbucks released a red cup that wasn't Jesus-y enough for this guy, so he raised a fuss about it. No. So if you heard about Starbucks had a red cup and there was controversy,
it was this dude.
He's back. Well, at least one of these things went viral again because last weekend was Pride weekend in DC.
Oh,
they had Pride parades.
I've heard about this one.
And McDonald's, three McDonald's stores in the DC area said, hey, we're releasing when you buy fries from us at these locations on this weekend, we're going to give you the fry box, but it'll be rainbow colored.
Yay.
That's the total amount of enthusiasm anyone should have for this. It's like, oh, that's cute. I'm done now. Joshua was very, very mad about this, and he said, quote, "Disgusting. McDonald's released their rainbow fries today in honor of gay pride. I'm tired of corporations trying to influence our families like this. Share this and let people know to stop eating at McDonald's. Plus, their food is crap." Oh. Really. Because he had to throw that in there.
Oh, you really tacked that one on at the end, huh?
Yes. It's like he forgot.
It sort of kind of lessens your call to boycott if you're like, I don't like that. I don't like to eat that. It's like people boycotting, like, going to Hawaii because that judge upheld Trump's travel ban. And people, like...
No, they struck it down, didn't they?
Excuse me. They upheld the...
The strike down.
Strike down.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's...
Whatever it was.
More than I understand.
But yeah.
But people are like, I'm never going to Hawaii. I'm like, you were never going to Hawaii in the first place. But anyway.
Yeah. Josh, if you don't want to go to McDonald's, like, you stop going first. We'll follow.
Also,
let's see.
Dude, what does that mean?
They're influencing your family. What are they influencing your kids with when they see rainbow colored fry boxes?
It doesn't mean anything. Like, they say these things and they have zero things to back them up. Like, they just. It's like
your kids don't turn gay by eating from a fry box. That's not how it works.
I mean,
research.
Science has not proven or disproven that.
This
so I'll thank you to keep your opinions to yourself. But like,
your kids might somehow become more tolerant people.
Right.
What
just
a horrible thing.
Say these words that sound meaningful that are just utterly hollow. It's the same thing as like fundamental secularist. It doesn't mean anything. Right. Just because you say it with fervor doesn't mean it like suddenly has me. Influencer and family. No, we're not influencing your family. We're like, no, dude.
Yeah. If your kids are influenced by fry boxes and your concern is the color of the box, like stop eating the fries.
And
that
like,
would be the bigger problem.
And if you... no,
the funniest
whatever.
Thing about all this, and this to me is legitimately funny, 10 minutes before he posted his fry rant, he posted a meme on his Facebook page that said, "If you're easily offended and looking for a safe space, my page ain't it. Move along, snowflake." Like, he's making fun of people who get sensitive over things they shouldn't.
Hammett, is he a troll?
I don't think he is. I think he believes this stuff. I think he exaggerates it, but I think, like, deep down, he, like, this is how he thinks he should go about promoting himself. I don't think he's making up the fact that he hates gay people.
Yeah.
I think he does, but he's weird in terms of how people, how he reacts to all this stuff.
I
he
really
picks
like
the weirdest battles.
Dive into this sort of. Like when they bandy around, like calling people snowflakes. So the reason they call liberals snowflakes is because apparently we all think we're special little snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
So in their mind, that means a person thinking that they are unique is necessarily a bad thing.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
It's not the uniqueness. It's that you think
your
beliefs have to be respected, or that every little thing that you get upset about, like, we should take seriously all of your complaints. I think that's their frustration with it.
But it's same thing like social justice warriors of like, well, I'm not sure which part of that is bad.
Right.
I think social justice is a pretty good thing, and being a warrior for that, same. I just don't.
At least in that battle, the social justice battle, it's so easy to throw out stereotypes and straw men on all the sides. Like, yeah, you're right. Social justice is not a bad thing. People advocating for that stuff isn't a bad thing. People being annoying isn't a new thing on any position. But conflating this idea that if you're supporting this stuff, then clearly you're on one camp or the other is ridiculous.
Anyway.
I want to move to a story. This one just... amuse me. This is a recent one, which is that Ken Ham has started a new tactic in terms of the Ark Encounter and how we like.
Oh, the one that's doing super, super good?
Yeah. They haven't released numbers yet. But in July,
so
like,
it's
they opened,
definitely doing good.
They opened on July 7th of last year. And as far as I know, they have not released official numbers. They will say things on social media like, we're doing great. Their attendance was huge. And I've heard atheists say, I've gone there. And look, here's video. There's no one in line. There's no one in the place because they went on like a Tuesday in, you know, January or something. So, of course, there's not going to be people there. So the question is, how good is their attendance really? Is it meeting the projections they had set up in advance? We don't have a definitive answer to that yet.
Do we have their projections?
Yeah, we have their projections.
Oh, yeah,
we've had those for years
because
they needed it to make a case for like getting a tax rebate, things like that. But we don't have anything official. No one does.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll be coming out in the next month as Kentucky has to pay them their little rebate that they got, which could be very, it could be worth up to like $18 million over 10 years. It's a lot of money we're talking about here, but it's all dependent on ticket sales and how much money was spent there, how much money went back into the Kentucky economy. So Kentucky has to know how much money went into the economy so that we know how much to give you back.
Uh-huh.
And that is public information. So as soon as Kentucky like releases this stuff, we'll have some idea of how it's doing. I think it's lower than expected. That's my hypothesis here. That's my theory on this. But who knows? But here's what's interesting. I think Ken Ham is trying to like buffer himself from those accusations that no one cares.
Is he already making excuses?
Not only is he making excuses, he's already starting to blame atheists.
Well,
yeah. And by the way, part of this,
you're welcome, Kentucky.
It's not just about Ark Encounter, because the whole premise of Ken Ham building it in the part of Kentucky in Williamstown,
Kentucky,
they're
going to bring in tourism, right?
Yes, tourism to the entire community, not just Williamstown, but Grant County, which it's in.
Okay.
Like, it's a rising tide. Get like, no pun intended. It's going to lift all boats, right? if people are coming in to visit Ark Encounter, they're going to spend money at the nearby hotels and restaurants. So, hey, Grant County, give us all these perks to build in your area, because our success is going to mean your success.
Yeah.
And what we've seen in article after article is that a lot of businesses in the area are saying, I have not seen any growth, or I've seen very little growth. There's like one town that's nearby. I think it's called Dry Gulch. Like, it's a nearby.
Come on,
sounds
Kentucks.
Exactly like it, right? Like you would expect. One area said there's a few more people coming to their area. But for the most part, most businesses in Williamstown have not seen a huge growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument from Ken Ham's side is, well, you haven't built the hotels yet, so people can't really stay here if they want to. You haven't built more restaurants that are making it more family friendly. So part of this is your fault for not building it.
All right, Ken.
I know, it goes back and forth. It's a chicken and the egg sort of thing where both sides are blaming the other side for not doing enough or not sticking to their promises or what have you. But here, this was new. This week, this was new. Ken Ham basically accused atheists who are critical of him and everything he's done or not done with Ark Encounter. He said, quote, they are, speaking of atheists, they are influencing business investors and others in such a negative way that they may prevent Grant County, Kentucky from achieving the economic recovery that its officials and residents have been seeking. As if me blogging or whatever, all these people criticizing it, is the reason the hotel's not being built, which is why the economy in the area is not doing well.
I mean, I wish I knew I had this much power, because
exactly.
I would have spent it on something much better than this dumb thing.
Like, I wish that were true. The funny thing is, there was an article that prompted him complaining about this, which was saying a reporter from the Lexington Herald Leader spoke to some local business people and got them on record saying, like, yeah, we're not really doing well. And she made a couple mistakes, from what I can gather. She made a couple mistakes in the reporting. She said, this guy, for example, owns like a Shake Shack or a Snack Shack or whatever, and he shut down for 3 months in the wintertime. Look at how bad the economy's doing, right? And what that guy later told Ken Ham, when Ken Ham asked about it, is that, well, no, we had they closed it down because of sewer lines needed repairing.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it had nothing to do with the economy.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, that's a legit complaint from Ken Ham. Mm-hmm. Like, that they got it wrong
with
that implication. But what he didn't say is, like, when the guy corrected the record, he didn't say, yeah, our sales are way up. He didn't say that.
No,
like, they're still not doing well.
We didn't close down specifically because we're not making money.
Another lady said she owns a coffee shop in the area. She said, you know, I've had only, I think she said, 4% of the sales from ARC visitors. Like, it's not much.
4%?
I don't even know how she calculated
it, because
unless they
either.
Told her they were coming from there.
Even that's
but
not.
But that seems very low in terms of all the investment that went into it. But what she said on Facebook later was that, this is not the ARC's fault. This is not the city's fault. It is all of our faults. Like, again, everyone needs to pitch in. What she didn't say is that I'm doing super better. Like, it's not entirely to blame, but kind of their fault too.
But also, I think there has to be an aspect of, like, those companies weren't making big promises. The only person making promises is Ken Ham and his ilk. They were the only ones who were saying, hey, we're going to be great for this town.
They got the land at a sweetheart deal. They borrowed, like, they are selling bonds for virtually nothing, like drunk bonds. Like, it's incredible. You're right. It's a sweetheart deal that Ken Ham got from the city, from the county, all around, from the state of Kentucky.
Yeah.
And you're right. These businesses that were already there, they were going to be there regardless. The question is, are they really getting a boost? There is really no proof of that. And there's one guy, his name is, I think, Steve Wood, who's been a critic since for the past year. Every interview you see this guy mentioned, mm-hmm. who just says, like, we haven't seen the economy boosting. We haven't seen people visiting these areas mm-hmm. and the local communities, part of which is because Ark Encounter is not really close to the community around
it.
You have to take, like, a shuttle bus from the parking lot to get to Ark Encounter. Like, so
really?
Yeah, and if you're going to visit Ark Encounter, you're not exactly next door. It's not like Disney World. You hop on like a tram and you're sure. already there. You got to do a little driving to even get to the community. And that's part of the problem too.
Yeah. Well, and I think also, and not to pretend I know that much about any of, you know, mm-hmm. community building or anything, but I have to imagine this whole like, oh, well, you need to put in the restaurants, put in the hotels and people will come to it. I have to imagine that there are people who very much want to capitalize on any profit that can be made.
Sure.
But if one hotel isn't selling out or whatever, or one, you know, restaurant isn't, you know, killing it every Friday and Saturday night, who would, like, you don't make an investment on a wing and a prayer on an unproven, quote unquote, theme park. Like,
right.
there's never been something like this before. So it's not like they can say, oh, when they opened Disney World, this happened to Orlando or the Disneyland with Anaheim.
California? And Disneyland.
Disneyland in Anaheim? Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
So it's not like this is, you know, we've seen this model before, so obviously everybody's rushing to make these investments. Like, if they're not selling out a hotel, nobody's going to put in, like, a Hyatt Grand Regency hotel in there, crossing their fingers that people are also going to come out in a... I was trying to make a pun about come out in waves, but I couldn't find it fast enough.
Let me add one more thing to this whole conversation. Last week, New York Times reported that Disney World in Florida, in Orlando, was seeing a drop in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird because usually you don't see that at Disney World. They have actually made more profits than before, but the attendance wasn't as much.
And they just opened Harry Potter World, so I'm...
And they did. Is that Disney or is that Universal?
It's not Disney. No, it's not Disney. It's Universal. Okay. I'm thinking of Star Wars. Doesn't
matter. But they are not seeing the attendance they wanted. And the article, basically, the people they talked to said it's higher ticket prices. That's the deterrent. A guy named C. Britt Beamer wrote an article for the Orlando Sentinel where he basically said...
I used to place classified ads in that paper. Paper.
Yeah. He works for a group called called America's Research Group, and they do a lot of studies on...
It sounds like a shell company.
what is the estimated attendance to theme parks, attractions? They do studies on this stuff.
Okay.
And what he said is, I research this all the time. I even did it for Ken Ham's Creation Museum 10 years ago when it opened. He said, I predicted they would have 400,000 people visiting in the first year.
And?
The final number was 404,000. So I'm dead on. I'm good about this stuff. I know how this stuff works.
Yeah.
And what he said is the reason Disney World was having lower attendance is because, especially in the past year after the Pulse nightclub massacre, Disney's gone all out in their pro-LGBT stuff. By hoisting rainbow flags and promoting themselves as being a LGBT-friendly place. And that is off-putting to evangelical Christian families who no longer want to go there.
Really?
And then he added, like, they don't want to go there, so if when they're planning their vacations, they're planning it for places like Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum in Kentucky. Okay. Let me tell you a couple things about this.
I was following his logic for a sec, but I swear to God, if my parents told me we were supposed to go to Disney World and went to the Ark Encounter instead, I still wouldn't be talking to them.
Right. He says Ark Encounter is going to have an estimated 2 million visitors within the next 3 years. It's going to be a viable alternative for family vacation dollars. And if the image of Orlando continues to cause consternation among evangelical Christians, Disney World's attendance will continue to slide.
But their profits are up, so...
You know what they didn't say in the article, even in his little bio? His bio basically said he's the founder of America's Research Group.
Is there what a chance it didn't this say, guy isn't super neutral?
Turns out, he wrote a book with Ken Ham. Yeah. He's Ken Ham's co-author. They just didn't mention any of that.
Oh, my God.
And his research.
I didn't think it was going to be that on the nose.
Oh, man. Totally on the nose. And his research that he does for America's Research Group was cited by Ken Ham in another book.
Oh,
like, they're BFFs.
God.
They are friends. And so, of course, he's not only trashing Disney World as another attraction alternative. They're going to go to Ark Encounter. Why
okay.
not?
This... That's like if I, like, wrote an article about how, like, Friendly Atheist is doing really well. I don't know
totally
why. I just
here.
Think so. I've just been doing some science research with my science book.
Yeah. It's absurd. And it's... Even if he was objective, which he's not, it's a dumb argument. Like, no one... Like you said, no one's saying... No kids are saying, I don't want to go to Disney World. Take me to the museum that's not a museum with a couple of zip lines and...
Maybe, they have zip lines?
They have zip lines because they're trying to attract people to there. But what does that have to do with anything creationism? Nothing. But it's like, hey, look, we have a couple zip lines. Ignore Harry Potter World in Universal Studios and ignore
yeah,
all
if,
the other stuff. It's a totally good substitute.
That's an excellent point that I was kind of turning around in my head of like, okay, even if they don't, like, Disney World isn't the only thing in Orlando that's, like, bringing people in. There's other shit down there yeah. for the kiddos.
If you're going to Ark Encounter Creation Museum instead of Disney World, it's just another example of Christians trying to rip off of secular pop culture and doing a horrible job of it. It's like those bad Christian movies.
It is.
Like, that no one would ever see, or bad Christian music that's supposed to be a boy band, but it's like they're all wearing their promise rings and all that. It's not really as good.
Promise rings giving the EBGBs.
But yeah, it's a horrible article, but there's nothing to back up this idea that any Christians
oh,
are not going to Disney World because it's too gay for them.
I needed to laugh like that. At first I was like, well, that's a big fat bummer if that's a real thing. And
yeah. Nope. No evidence to back that one up.
Do they know? Have they attributed the downturn in ticket sales to anything?
I think ticket sales is the only explanation they could come up with.
Just that, or that they're expensive
the
ticket prices?
Yeah. Nothing else that I've read has suggested there's some other overarching explanation.
Uh-huh.
Maybe people aren't traveling as much. Maybe people sure. aren't, because whatever, they're online too, but whatever. I don't
they're
know.
Online too
but
much.
It's,
Shut
but it's
the
not,
fuck up, Evan.
It's just ticket prices is the only thing that's really changed.
Yeah.
And maybe, and but again, when you have more attractions or something new comes up, no one's not going to Disney World.
Right.
All right.
Let's
I got
go
one.
To Disney World.
Yeah.
Can we do a live episode from Disney World?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'll
just drag this shit around.
I'll pull out the Patreon dollars right now.
Hey, guys, I don't have a job now. Patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. Jessica needs to eat.
Jessica needs to eat.
Because this used to go towards, like, I'll bring a nicer bottle of wine for
yeah.
recording. And now it's like, food, please. That's not true. I'm not starving.
It's
but still,
good.
Patreon.com. Yes. /friendlyatheistpodcast.
There you go. I got one last story for you. This
yeah.
is one we brought up last week. You referred to it earlier. I can't not bring this up. There was a Christian conference for women in Australia
wait.
A couple weeks ago called Equip.
I'm pouring another bottle.
Yeah,
glass
you may
of champagne.
Need a little. And one of the speakers, Carmelina Reed, basically said she on her PowerPoint or whatever, she had a picture of the actress Kristen Stewart, who now has very
Kristen Stewart,
short
Katy Perry.
Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
But she has very short blonde hair mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. as does Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And this speaker's argument was, I'm quoting from the article here, was this platinum blonde buzz cut, asked Carmelina Reed, appropriate for a woman? Was it feminine and submissive, or instead flagging independence and rebellion? It might be more in line with God's good design to have long hair because it was a visible sign of the difference between men and women in which God delighted.
Oh, yeah, this is one of my really good joke about how short hair isn't appropriate for me because I cut it short and it didn't look very good, so I'm growing it back out. So, no, it's not appropriate for everybody. Some people don't have the facial structure to pull it off. We all learn lessons. That was my funny joke. It was funnier last week.
That
I'm sorry,
good.
Guys. Also, I listened to your last episode.
Yeah.
You said
that's
that
what I do.
You said that she said it wasn't feminist instead of wasn't
oh,
feminine.
Shoot.
I was like, ooh, that's the opposite
that
of what
was a
she
mistake.
Meant.
My bad.
No, it's fine. It's just one of those like, ew. So
the funniest thing yeah. about the reaction to this, first of all, some women in that conference left the room when she said this.
Yeah,
good for them.
Good.
One of the participants actually wrote about it and said, when you're trashing women with short hair, and she kind of understood what she was saying, what the speaker was saying, but she's like, when you're trashing women with short hair, you are trashing cancer patients. or women who lose their hair because of pregnancy or illness, or, quote, half of Africa. Like, there are people with short hair for cultural reasons or because medical reasons. They have to have it, or they don't get a choice about this. In their opinion, God doesn't love them less because of that, and that's an absurd thing to say.
Here's the thing with that.
That doesn't even get to the heart of the actual argument.
That's the thing. Yes, I get what she's saying, and to put that final point on it, I think, is a point that is worth making, that even the most devout Christian woman who's got the long hair and the bouffant or whatever, all the 19 kids and counting kids all have that like bouffant thing.
Yeah.
They must tease the shit out of their hair. I've tried to do that. I can't do it. This is another episode of Hair Woes with Jessica. Anyway, there are people who have short hair because of
reasons
outside of their control.
Yes.
But to slam women for having short hair is just...
And saying God doesn't love them enough.
And saying God doesn't love them enough, or they the don't same. Love God enough, or
yes,
whatever.
That's better.
I just don't, like... It's such a, like... low bar. It's not a low bar or high. It's just a weird fucking bar to set of, like, how... And we're not talking about, like, oh, people who have pink hair think this, or, you know, people with tattoo, or just something that's, like... out of the main...
If they have some hairstyle, God isn't like, happy with them either.
Kristen Stewart or Katy Perry, whomever, it's a very, I guess, masculine haircut traditionally, I guess. But, like, there are women with short hair, and it's, I don't know what I'm getting, it's just frustrating. Like, why do you, I guess what it comes down to, Hemant, is why is this a thing you care about? Like, why is this a thing that not only you're willing to discuss among your friends or write about on a blog or yell about on a podcast, but you're going to go to a conference and put a PowerPoint slideshow together and make sure you include that picture of Kristen Stewart or whomever, because this is a really salient point for you. Like, just lady, fucking figure your life out a little bit.
It also makes you wonder, like, how long does hair have to be before Jesus is happy about it?
That's a good question.
Like, when does it go from being short hair to being acceptably long?
I think mine's now because it's in a tiny ponytail. So
yeah,
a tiny
like,
ponytail?
If you can do a tiny ponytail, mm-hmm. does Jesus love you now?
But I still have this kind of scruff underneath, so maybe he doesn't love me quite yet.
And it's also funny because how many pictures that Christians parade around or have in their homes or whatever show Jesus with long hair?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, and...
I don't recall seeing pictures of Jesus with super short hair.
Like a smart buzz cut?
Yeah. Like, you don't see that picture.
Like high and tight.
And it's not like any of those are supposed to be historically accurate. I know we project onto Jesus.
What?
I know. They didn't have pictures of Jesus.
We're going to have to talk about this off the show.
But it's like, if the women with short hair is not feminine enough, what happens when Jesus has long hair?
That's a good point. I didn't think of
that. Is that too feminine?
But also... I would say most women who are like 60 plus who I've ever met have short hair. Like, it's not like it's a thing most women don't have. Like, it's a really popular hairstyle right now of women of all ages, but like most older women I know just have short hair. Like, when they get a
doesn't love them.
Well, that's a good point. I didn't consider the fact that she's right and Jesus just doesn't love them. For that really cool, legitimate reason.
Yes. Yeah, you can go to heaven if you accept Christ, but, you know, if your hair is too short, forget it. It's an absurd thing to say. And at least some women fought back against it.
Why do you have two lamps in that corner?
Don't ask. One of them, both of them don't work.
Oh, perfect.
We need to get rid of those. On that note...
Cool. So hopefully you guys hear it. If you're listening to this, Hemant didn't
then it
fuck
worked.
Up again.
I know. Hopefully it'll work, and then we'll be back next week with different stories. I'm sure stuff will happen. Stuff always happens. Thanks for listening. If you like what you're listening to, patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
Jess has gotta eat. Follow me at Blueberry, BLUEBURE. People have said really nice things because I made a joke yesterday about how I lost my job, and people have said super, like it was a joke, and people were like, you'll land on your feet. I'm like, oh, you guys are nice and cool. Thank you,
that's
everybody.
Nice of
I really like hearing from people.
That's
it
nice.
Makes my heart happy.
I'm at Hemant Mehta. I will hear from people whether I want to or not.
So. Yeah. Hey, guys, if you're writing to complain about my swearing, like, complain to your friends. We don't care.
This is very true.
There is such a good chance that I will never, ever, ever stop swearing. I'm sorry. It's not my favorite trait, but here we are.
It's okay. I did get one email saying I'm too sarcastic, which...
Really?
Wow.
There was
you haven't met me.
There was
I really am.
There was an iTunes review that was basically like, if Hemant ever starts his own show without that annoying co-host, I'll listen to that.
Yeah, well, too bad.
Guys, sorry. Like, I'm not apologizing for my swear. I'm sorry that this is a thing that is that bothersome to you. Like,
I think that's the thing that bothers me. It's like you were so upset about this that you wanted to write in about that. All right.
I mean,
that's your thing,
that's
I guess.
Cool. My Etsy shop is Bitches Get Stitched Done. If you want to buy a weird, dumb cross stitch, I've got some more time on my hands these days. I can make you something weird and stupid.
Excellent.
Probably has swears in it. Sorry. I'm sorry, y'all.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.